Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Kasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Kasim. And if both of you guys want to go ahead and introduce yourself, Eric, if you want to go first, just tell us where you live and what you do for a living with Stanky Sauce.
Hey there, I'm Eric Stankwitz. I'm the younger of the Stanky brothers. I live out in Central Florida, and my main role, I guess my title is Vice President of Stanky Sauce, but I like to go by Senior Flavor Advisor. But yeah, I handle most of the CFO job from there.
Cool, and I'm Eddie Stankwitz, the older of the Stanky brothers. I'm the original founder, and I do everything else. I do a lot more of the physical stuff. So I'm the one that typically comes to the warehouse and handles all that, oversees all the non-financial stuff. That's all for Eric. But yeah, we go by Stanky. So that's why my tag there says Stanky. It's just short for our last name. It's our nickname.
Awesome. So how did you get the idea for this business?
So the idea was like, and we get asked this question a lot, and I always say it was kind of like always in front of our face. And we just never realized it. So it really was just bringing it up in a conversation with someone else who is my father or our father and saying, I really just want to create a business idea. We want to put Stanky on it. And he's like, why don't you just make a hot sauce? And as we're eating hot sauces, because we always had like 5 hot sauces on the table. And he's like, I'm like, done. We're going to call it Stanky Sauce. And it's so I tell people, it's like, you don't have to kind of keep it to yourself, like, trying to come up with an idea. The round tables work. Eric, what is that thing where you have like your people that you reach out to for advice? Eric's more of the business learning and audiobooks kind of guy. So when you have that team of people that you just kind of like reach out to,
I call them my board of trustees. But
there you go.
It's board of trustees. Your own personal board of trustees.
So it's like sometimes the right idea is right in front of your face, and you're looking so hard or thinking too hard that you just don't see it. So
awesome. So obviously there's many companies that make hot sauce. So what separates you guys, and like what's special like about the hot sauce that you guys make?
This guy right here. So I would say, we make a really good product. Talking about the product specifically, we focus on all natural ingredients, making sure we're not adding any sort of added preservatives, added gums, added colorings, which you'll get a lot in some of these generic hot sauces. But really, what kind of sets us apart from everybody else is really our branding, and Stanky the monkey right over here. You know, it's a great icon. It catches the eye whenever we're at events. Anyone from the ages of 1 year old to 19 years old turns around and takes a look at this monkey, because it really captivates people. There's some people that would come up to our tent or wherever we're set up, and they're like, man, I saw that monkey from like the entrance from like a mile away. And they'll come and they're just like, it piqued my interest. What do you guys got? But that's the marketing, the branding part of it. I think that's really where we stand out. But, you know, our sauce is, like I said, all natural. We use double the produce. So they're thick. They're not your average type of hot sauce. I think sometimes when people think of hot sauce, they think vinegar. They think runny sauces, which is actually not the norm. If you go to some of these other companies doing it out there, they're really playing with some really cool flavors, really cool ingredients, and the textures are a little bit different as well.
I could add just one thing. Another part is that where most companies are focused on hot sauce enthusiasts, we're focused on those who don't like hot sauce. So our mission is to convert people. So we're creating a balance of flavors and heat, for the most part, on the milder side, that kind of introduces people into like, hey, this is what hot sauce could be. And just bringing people into the world of spicy foods.
That's awesome. So like, when you're at like an event, right, how do you, obviously, like, so your mascot is really cool, but when you're actually talking to people, how do you convince them to go and try your product? That, you know, like, for me also, like, I'm always like, I don't know, I'm not so big on like hot and spicy foods, but like, you know, I'd be open to trying something that's not as hot. So how do you like even have those conversations with people?
Oh, that's a really good question. We've never been asked that before. It's tough. When we go to hot sauce specific events, those are the best because you really don't have to convince people.
Right.
But we're still seeing ourselves trying to convince people into it because they see certain things or they've heard that we're on the milder side and they're like, no, I just want spicy. And I just tell people, it's like, unless you try it, you'll never know.
Right.
But if it's someone like at a farmer's market, it's a matter of convincing someone because not everybody goes to the farmer's market to buy hot sauces. They're just
Right.
slipping
Right.
out. So it really is listening and finding that way to kind of break the ice into a conversation to capture their attention. So a big thing, like Eric said, with our branding, we get a lot of kids that just run up to our booth because they got free stickers. So then that's that opportunity to, hey, the parents. And they might try one sauce, and we always try to gear them towards the sauce that we know is our number one seller and be like, hey, try this one. And once they try that one, they're going to try them all. You know, we, as some people, if they're very iffy and we want them to at least try one, we're going to ask them, what do you typically like? And then we'll make our suggestion. You know, Eric's really good at that. Or if someone just doesn't know what they want to try next, I always tell them, try them all. But I was like, if it's between two certain ones, it's like, all right, what are you in the mood for right now? Tacos or chicken wings? And if they say tacos, we're going with the agave jalapeno. If they say chicken wings, we're going with the honey mango habanero. So it's really about that, the listening piece. It's all stuff that we picked up at Disney. You got to hear your customer first, and then you'll guide them towards, you know, where you want to guide them towards.
That makes
Yeah,
sense.
the engagement piece is the most important, but our tag is Feed Adventure. That's one of our big things that we like to talk about. And feeding adventure is really kind of going out of the norm, trying something different, trying something that you normally wouldn't have done. In our case, it's culinary. It doesn't always have to be going out on a hike or a physical adventure like that. But it's, you know, everybody has, if you're not yourself a spice lover, everybody knows a spice lover in their family. So that's where that listening part, because you can always be like, hey, I heard you say something about, you know, your brother loves hot sauce. Well, let me make some suggestions. So it's about that first engagement piece, and then making those right recommendations for them. You know, at the end of the day, when they try it, our sauces kind of sell themselves in a sense, but it's like you said, that first grabbing them and trying to figure out, you know, they're hesitant. How can we get them to try that first sauce?
And the approachability part of it too, you know, I don't allow us to sit. So when you go to a market, you go to an event and you just see people on their phones sitting down. And I, in my head, I'm just like, are you here to make money? Are you here to just like text a friend or play games? And it's not just the making money, it's the like promoting your brand. What are you doing here? So I allow one chair. My mom's helping us out. She's usually got dibs on the chair. You know, she's 70, so she needs to sit down a lot more, but we'll rotate who's going to sit. You know, when there's lunch, one person eats lunch at a time. And these are at like the major events where we have like three people, you know, the big hot sauce festivals. But sitting is not an option because you break that approachability. Leaning is not an option. These are all things that we learned from working at Disney. You know, you got to be approachable and ready to just interact, or else you'll miss a sale, you'll miss an interaction.
Yeah, we started even switching up how our display is, like how our setup is, to kind of take out the barriers. So a lot of the times when you go to this, there's just one table that's separating you from your customer. So we've figured out a way now to kind of open it up a little bit more. So now we can engage with our customer. We don't keep that barrier. It's a little bit more of a personal interaction as opposed to just trying to sell you something.
Yeah.
For sure. So in terms of the business, like what does a breakdown look like? Is it mostly like, can you just kind of like break it down in terms of percentage, like direct to consumer, you know, in-person events, food service, B2B? What does that look like in terms of like your breakdown percentage wise of the business?
I
I
think
think
it depends on the month.
it really does. Like right now, June, it so J January and June are really slow months for us. It doesn't pick up until mid-July. And then it's like mid-July to the end of December to Christmas. That's where we're on fire, right? So for the most part, I'm gonna say 60% of our business historically up to this point for 3.5 years has been direct to consumer at festivals. I'd say maybe 25% is, or maybe 20% is direct to consumer online sales, and then you got another 20% that you're gonna divide up again. We don't really have our food services yet. It's something we're working on and it's going to happen. It's very small. It's going to make less than 5%, but it's at universities, in their food halls. So the University of South Florida, and starting this fall at the University of Central Florida, they'll have our sauces available at dining facilities. The chefs will be creating recipes utilizing our products. This is probably the first time we actually even mentioned that. So
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't think we've mentioned that on any of the podcasts
wholesale
previously.
to B2B is going to be just 20%. That's something that everything's kind of like in order for that to the majority. I mean, that's where business really shines and makes more money. You have smaller margins, but you have it's about numbers, it's quantity. Shipping out pallets at a time, it kind of equals out us being at physical events. Man, it takes a toll on us physically, mentally. Like, I've driven the whole country probably twice by now. In 15, 16 months that I've had a truck, it's at 55,000 miles.
Wow.
So yeah, it's that's a lot.
Now we're
Since
doing it
you're
again this
oh yeah, this summer I hit
summer.
that. Yeah.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing, and I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? You want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high-level technology like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
So in terms of retail, in terms of where people can find you currently, is it mostly right now in Florida, or are you sold in stores nationwide? What does that look like?
So we're nationwide. We're actually international at this point. I'd say about 25 stores are in Florida. And then the other 40 or so are going to be spread out across the country from coast to coast. And then we have two stores that carry our products in Canada, one in the UK, and one in Australia. So that's, we have less than 100 retail partners, and that's what we call them, retail partners across the
Right.
country. And hopefully, 2025 is the year that it's not just going to double, it's going to triple, quadruple. That's what everything is kind of what we're working at right now. That
So,
doesn't happen overnight. Some places, some companies do get lucky and they strike gold and they get an investor who just happens to have all the connections in the world. And but then it's like, how do you keep that momentum going? How do you get someone to actually buy it?
exactly.
So
But are you mostly now like specialty retail or any chains? What does that look like?
we're in Ace Hardware here.
Okay.
So we're in 13 Ace Hardwares in Central Florida, and that's going to be our only chain. The own Everything else is kind of one-off mom and pop shops. There's one store in Boston where the owner has two stores in two different parts of Massachusetts. So they're about 45 minutes away from each other, each store. One's near Salem in a city called Beverly, and the other one's called in a town called Worcestershire. I always ruin it. They hate it. Any Bostonians are like, you butchered it. And then the only other kind of big grocery store is Jungle Jim's, which is in Cincinnati,
Cincinnati.
Ohio. So that's two stores, but the main store is basically like the Disney World of grocery stores across the world. If you've never been, it's kind of like you have to go. It's like going to, if you come to Orlando and you don't go to Disney World or Universal Studios, it's like, okay, what are you doing?
Right.
So, yeah.
For sure. So I guess like in 2025, what is your vision in terms of, are there certain parts of the country that you're looking to capture or certain, retail partners is kind of like on your radar? Like, what are you looking to, or I guess, where are you looking to sell your products?
I want to, we want to, 2025, we want to take over Florida. We're already here. This is our home. We grew up in Florida. We're native Floridians. So we want from coast to coast, north to south, east to west, take over the whole peninsula and, just really kind of reinforce the pockets across the country where our best sales are. So the Midwest is huge for us. So Ohio, Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, Indiana, that's big. Then you have New York, New Jersey, that's going to be like the next piece. And then Texas. So it goes Florida, Midwest, and the New Jersey, New York, and then Texas.
For
So they'll
sure.
reinforce that and then kind of just sprinkle out into the other markets that we're not as big in yet.
Definitely. So nowadays, many companies are using high level technology like AI. So do you guys currently use AI? And if not, like, where do you think AI can come in and give you more value?
Yeah, so Eric's actually AI. Like, he's not even really Eric at all.
Yeah, we utilize AI here and there. When you're an entrepreneur and you're running a business, you don't know everything. And we've never gone to we don't have our MBAs. We're just two guys trying to figure it out, and AI really does help with a lot of things. It's good if you use it for the right things. So it really, we've used what ChatGPT a couple times to really help us get our ideas and kind of hone them in. And then it basically creates an outline for us. And then we go in and we adjust it to really what we need to. Because people need to understand that AI, when you start using it, it just starts generating what it thinks is the right format, the right steps, but you still need that human aspect to it. It's there to help. It's a good guideline, but you need that human aspect to be able to mold it to what your company is, to what your brand is trying to do. It doesn't know your brand. You could put stanky sauce into ChatGPT and it's gonna have no idea what stanky sauce is,
I think it
but
now, but because
but we're the ones that really fine-tune it. So you get a good base of what you should be doing or what you could be doing. And then you just kind of fine-tune it to what your brand is and what you're trying to build.
for sure. So, what would you say is like the one biggest piece of advice that you guys wish you knew before you started this business?
That's a good question.
Piece of advice that I knew before we started this
That you wish you would have known.
I wish I'd known not to do it. No, I didn't know how big the craft hot sauce community was. And it's not a negative thing, like saying, oh, I wish I would have known that, but maybe it would have steered me somewhere else because it's so big. There's so many companies making some of the most amazing hot sauces in the world. I mean, I have a personal collection of like 400 hot sauce bottles
Wow.
from just makers from all across the world, not just the United States. And maybe it would have kind of, because it makes it a little tougher to just really stand out. So that's where crafting things, it's like, okay, how do we stand out? How do we not just have another mango habanero and another like regular ghost pepper sauce? Like, what makes it unique? So I think that's one thing that I would have liked to know what I was up against, because
Right.
I didn't. We created it because we felt like the market wasn't there, and it really was there. It's just, it wasn't just broadcasted out to everybody. And then shows like Hot Ones are really helping showcase a lot more of the craft sauces across the country. But that's a good question. That's what I'm gonna go with. I don't know if Eric has anything.
I think that's a big one for me, but I think the other thing is you never really realize what goes into creating a product to go into retail. The steps that you have to do, everything from permits
Especially
to, yeah, especially with consumables. And that kind of is my thing, is how difficult it is to get into to do consumables properly. Because if you want to scale and you want to get into some of these big retail grocery stores, you need to have your permits. You can't just be crafting this stuff in your bathtub, right? But all of that, I think, is really what I wish I would have known a little bit more about.
awesome. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that, having this community is a good and a bad thing in a sense. Like, you do have lots of demand. The people are always looking to go and try new flavors and different hot sauces. But yeah, it's definitely very interesting. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you guys, you mind sharing your website or social media? I guess best ways to get in contact.
Yeah, so you can contact us at info@stankysauce.com. That's the best way to capture us through email. Very, very responsive on Instagram. So at the Stanky Sauce. Well, let's just say the Stanky Sauce. Don't put the AT at the front. We all know what that means, but not everybody does. So the Stanky Sauce on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, X, Threads, YouTube. That's where you can find. Those are all our channels. Most of my responses respond, message me on Instagram because I'm very good at that. And I think those website is stankysauce.com, so you could check that out. That website's always evolving. In the 3.5 years we've been in business, it's evolved like three or four times. And it's about to evolve again because websites or something you constantly have to be improving on. And by the way, ChatGPT does know who we are, and it has a whole letter worth. I mean, it even has our financial numbers on how much we've made every year, how many sauces we have, shows we've done, setbacks we've had. So it knows who we are. Shoot. So that's how you could contact us. But email and Instagram are the best two ways to reach us.
Also,
Awesome.
with the website, there is a store locator on there too. So if anybody wants to try some, go on to the store locator and see what's your nearest retailer.
Yeah,
Awesome.
the only one in Texas, and I don't know if he has any of our stuff still in inventory, he might be sold out, would be Mikey V. So he has a hot sauce taco shop north of Austin.
Okay.
So
I'm in Austin, yeah, so I gotta check it out.
yeah, he makes some killer sauces, man. It's
He
so
makes really good stuff. Yeah.
Max.
Mikey V is legit.
Yeah, that he is like the king of your area out there. So if you haven't tried his stuff, go and try it. We've been trying to get in and find information on the Austin Chronicles Hot Sauce Festival that's in, I think it's in September, but we cannot get in contact with anybody for information. We know a bunch of vendors have already been accepted, but I don't know, because we would have made that effort to go out there.
Right,
That's
right.
a show that's supposed to be like wild. So
Awesome. Well, yeah, hopefully, yeah, if you guys can get in contact or if you'll be in Texas anytime soon, let's definitely stay in touch. And thank you both so much for your time today.
absolutely,
yeah,
man.
man. Thank you. Nice meeting you. Take
Likewise.
care.
Thank you. All right, bye.
Bye.